You are now listening to the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. For more information, visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts.
TKF United.
Hello, and thanks for listening to TKF United, Stadium Talk That Rocks. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
How are we doing?
I'm good.
Getting ready to vote here.
I'm ready to vote. Let's Is anybody it. Else ready to vote?
Yeah, I am. Yep. I'm ready to vote.
Well, that voice you hear is DK Aniwo from the SD Chronicle.
Woohoo. Oh, yeah. All right. DK.
We also have Drew Steck from the Original Supporters Group.
Yo.
Of Soccer City.
Hey.
And Jason Riggs from the San Diego Stadium Coalition.
Yep. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Great. Thanks for coming back.
So, Jason, I got an email from somebody because I get important emails about...
You're on someone's list?
Yeah, I'm on the list. I'm on a lot of chains in this town. But no, I got an email that your group, the San Diego Stadium Coalition, endorsed Measure G. Can you give us some background on just the history of the coalition?
Sure. And first of all, you didn't flag that as spam, did you?
No. I have a... I get all the press releases of all the endorsements Measure G gets.
I get those too.
It is.
It's hard to escape. And yes, I can't wait till this election's over either. So just a quick primer on our group. We started in 2008. We were, we formed basically as a group trying to find a stadium solution in San Diego. And over those last 10 years, we met with everyone from, Jerry Sanders to Bob Filner to Kevin Faulkner to Chris Kate. You just go down the list of anyone who's been in office that had anything to, and even Scott Sherman for that matter, actually. There was a time, I think, when we thought we could talk some sense into him. But it's been a long road, and it's one of those things where I think we thought, if anything, we want to be a voice of, the citizens. We've met with downtown groups on, what the stadium would mean for them. We just wanted to really be a voice and provide factual information on a stadium. We were never about the Chargers. Save Our Bolts was definitely much more Charger focused, which is fine. I mean, they brought out a ton of fans and got the emotions going, and that was good. But our whole thing was always, having gone to San Diego State myself and understanding, having grown up here, what that stadium means to this city and this county, quite honestly. We just wanted to find a way to find a stadium solution in San Diego County, wherever that was. And there was a time when it was in Chula Vista, Oceanside. Like, you could just, again, go down the list of all the different things that developed over those 10 years. But we did work closely with the Chargers, with Dean Spanos and Mark Fabiani. Those are not everyone's favorite names at this point. I totally get it. But in the end, we realized that there was still work to be done. And this is a really critical piece of property and a really critical decision for the future of San Diego. So we stayed engaged even after the team left. And here we are today.
Yeah, and I saw part of the press release you guys mentioned a few times about how one selling point is that you think this plan will be the most adaptable for the NFL to come back. And today we had some pretty interesting news about the Chargers hit the national media about, how it's not really going well. It's not really surprising to anybody. But how did you take that, Drew, when you saw that?
Well, as a former Charger fan and a grandson of both grandparents who had season tickets for a long time, was very close to the Chargers before they left and was appreciative of some efforts by people like Jason to try and get a stadium built here when they were here. However, you look at kind of the revising of their goals from $400 million to $150 million. So that's not even what they've sold, but what their goal is to sell. It's a pretty stark reminder that it was a terrible decision. I don't think that anybody can paint it any other way at this point. I think trying to paint that it as a success or to remain a fan of the team has been difficult for me in many respects, and it seems like most San Diegans fall somewhere in there, either from a sense of not caring to being still angry to maybe caring a little bit about certain players, but possibly when they move on, moving on as well. So it's obvious that the support did not translate, and there's support for other stuff here locally to move on somewhat, although there are kind of provisions in both these measures to involve the NFL in some way. It'll be interesting to see kind of how that plays out and how interested the NFL really is in coming back to a city with very few Fortune 500s and very little corporate interest in bringing them back.
So when you see that, when you see the SDSU wants to leave that open, I mean, is that something that really drew you to that, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, obviously everyone's got an agenda. Let's be honest. No one's looking at this thing with just, you know, the world's best interest at heart. For us, you know, we stay true to our mission statement, which we identified 8 years ago, which is to bring a world-class stadium to San Diego, knowing that, you know, the stadium I grew up with, you know, watched the Padres play there and saw some great things there. You know, I was looking at it even the other day when I was at the Aztecs game. You look at that top ring and it starts to look like, you know, this old Coliseum. It's like crumbling down, right? Mm-hmm. So we knew that something would have to happen, no matter how emotionally attached anyone is to it. And I agree with what Drew was saying. I mean, the fact that the team left was really hard for a lot of people to deal with, including myself. I had season tickets for 20 years. And everyone deals with it differently. And the saddest part about this whole thing is it's gotten very personal among the fans. Like, if you gave up on them, you were never a real fan. And if you stuck with them, you're a fake fan. And I don't know. It's like, who really cares? None of us had anything to do with this. You know? Like, the ownership and the dysfunctional leadership in the city were the reason why the team left. Mm-hmm. So having said all that, I mean, seeing them up in LA and having even met with them a couple of times since they've been up there and just informally sort of understanding, you know, what's the situation in San Diego. There are some grassy knoll theorists who think that the team had to extract itself from the conversation because it was so toxic. And by going to LA even temporarily, again, you have to really buy into this long view play here.
Yeah. There's so many conspiracies. I love it.
But by even going to LA temporarily, I mean, assuming Fabiani's behind this, because I'm sure Dean didn't think of this. what they did is they blocked out the Raiders out of LA, and the Raiders now are going to have a brand new stadium in Vegas. The Rams are going to LA no matter what. The Chargers can now spend a couple of years marketing in LA and potentially come back to San Diego. You know, I know people talk about this 10-year, you know, they got to commit to LA for 10 years. I mean, let's be honest, the NFL it's a club, basically. It's not like a legally binding political office. Like, if they say the Chargers aren't financially viable here, we're sending them back to San Diego or wherever, they can do that. But, you know, Dean would have to obviously be a part of that since he's the owner and they work for him. So anyway, without getting too convoluted here, there is a theory that with them extracting themselves out of San Diego, a group like SDSU West or Friends of SDSU getting together and actually getting entitlements on the land and building out the infrastructure and all the things the Chargers were probably going to have a long legal haul to do, that opens a pretty easy door for them to come back and be, if not a full owner, a partial owner in a new stadium here at a much lower expense than they would have paid if they had just built it outright. Having said that, you know, who knows, right? But they did tell me that when we talked about both the initiatives, that the SDSU West initiative was the most conducive to an NFL team coming back to San Diego. Mm-hmm. Or coming to San Diego, not back. That'd be an interesting way to phrase it, coming to San Diego. So a lot of that's predicated on how well they do in LA, if the market's viable, you know, once that stadium gets built and all that other stuff. But between the two, you know, a soccer-specific stadium that only holds 22,000 at the outset versus a 35,000-person stadium for the Aztecs that's expandable to 55, you know, it doesn't take much math to figure which one's more conducive. Now, having said that, they did carve out, you know, a piece of property for an NFL stadium, but it's only there for 5 years with Soccer City. And quite honestly, I don't know if anything could or even would happen within those 5 years. And then that land would essentially be used for another purpose at that point.
Yeah, I'm curious. You said they told you that the SDSU West program or stadium would be more conducive. Which they are we talking about? The Chargers told you that?
Yeah, like Fabiani and Dean Spanos when I was up there in Carson meeting with them at one of the games. I just kind of, you know, asked. And, of course, they asked about the mayor and how their best friend is doing. And he's also my best friend, so we're not really in touch that much. But yeah, you know, I just said, hey, you know, just out of curiosity, like those two plans that are going with Soccer City and SDSU West, like, what do you guys think in terms of which one would be the closest to something that an NFL team could get involved with? And the answer was pretty clearly SDSU West without a question. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. You know, and of course, there's lots of caveats like, well, that depends on us being successful here and then being able to put a third team there in the Southern California, blah, blah, blah. Right. So I wouldn't read too much into it. But again, it doesn't take much to say, well, there's a 22,000 person soccer specific stadium being proposed versus a 35,000 expandable to 55,000 person stadium being proposed. Which one is more conducive? Obviously that one is, right? And obviously that one actually needs financing. As we all know, there's no clear financing plan behind the SDSU West plan, which I think is what's concerning a lot of people. So if a well-heeled NFL owner, maybe not Dean Spanos, but if somebody came in with some money and they could actually afford to, you know, make a large donation and potentially build out that stadium and get some ownership rights and concession rights and all that kind of stuff. It's not completely unrealistic that that could happen.
Is there any other ground shares with the university in the NFL currently?
You know, that's a good question.
I'm pretty sure the answer is no. That's why I was asking the question.
I'm pretty sure the answer is no, but let's be honest. The NFL also is evolving. Like, they aren't getting the TV ratings they used to get, right?
But let's talk about that. So evolving in the sense of building $1 billion, $2 billion stadiums, trying to build something that's going to be built for a college and then expand that for the NFL. I've been to Camp Randall. I've been to Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. I've been to Qualcomm for many a game. I would say that there is a distinctly different experience in even high-class college stadiums like University of Wisconsin versus, you know, Lambeau Field in terms of the amenities that provide. And Lambeau has a very college atmosphere to it, but there's almost a class above in terms of what the NFL is doing with its facilities. In my view, and on my side of the table, I would say I just don't see the NFL doing that. And also, on the other side of that, just kind of throwing the premise into question, what does the NFL do coming back for us versus something else that maybe the city would move on to or look at a different avenue for sports? And I guess the side of me that's coming to this table, instead of the work you've done for a number of years to try and build a stadium for the purpose of football, because that's what was here, I would say that I just have always been interested in our city winning a meaningful sports championship. And I think that most of the people at this table share that vision and want. And you know, on top of that, I would also say I'd want our city to excel at something. So even if we're not winning championships year in year, to have a team that we can be proud of and say, distinctly, we have advantages here that other people don't have in terms of the weather, in terms of the ability to pull in talent and have people come play here, whatever sport that is that we can excel at. And I think for me and where I sit, I think soccer is a very logical step to that. And I believe that within time, people would not look back to the NFL and say, hey, that's what we want. They would look towards the culture of soccer and its inclusivity and where the city's going to not only pull in people, because I've, as I said, lifelong San Diegan, somebody who also lives somewhere else. I lived in Milwaukee for a number of years, and that's why I'm wearing a Brewers jersey right now, sadly. Hopefully it's turned around by the time this airs. But the side of that that I'd say is living there is that there's a certain civic pride there that even when you move there, you almost assimilate into. Several members of my family are now Packers fans by trade. I've just kind of given up mostly on the NFL, although I watch it on occasion. But overall, I just think that San Diegans, giving them a new opportunity and a new sport to hinge into, there's so many people here with allegiances already to NFL teams. You give them an opportunity for a sport like soccer where they might not have a dedicated allegiance. They might have an avenue to pursue kind of some of that emotion that they, you know, it, with the Chargers has been so mangled and so toxic, as you said, a lot of that's tied to the NFL for some people, myself included. And so that's where I just don't know what the NFL even coming back does for us in this scenario on either plan.
I thought of one team, Cardinals.
Fair. Okay.
Anyways, that was a really interesting point stadium. Because that kind of tied into what I was saying.
True.
About.
And I think they're open land and the ability, I would say that, from, you know, a retort to maybe put it in Jason's corner, SDSU has less set in stone, right? Their plan doesn't have as much affix to it. And I think that a lot of people, including myself, would point to that as a negative and say, what are we getting with this plan? We don't know. It's a question mark. Could be fantastic. Could be everything everybody says it's going to be. Could also be none of that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where, for me, I want an assured thing to know that in the next 10 years, we're going to have a professional sports team that we can be proud of and be competing at that high level and have a chance to win a meaningful sports championship for the city. And so from my end, I would say on the SDSU side, what they could claim is we don't have as much set in stone. So if a person does come to us in the next 5-10 years and we haven't fully developed that new stadium yet, maybe we wouldn't be building just a college stadium and tacking on NFL amenities. Maybe you'd have the ability to build one from scratch if I was to argue from your side, I guess.
Yeah, no, I think you make some great points, and I don't disagree with most of what you've said, actually. I think, you know, and just for the record, I personally have given up on the NFL as well. Like, I'm probably more staunch than you. Like, I won't even allow it on my TVs in my house, okay? And I grew up with
I went through weeks like that. I went through weeks like
if you
that,
just,
too.
If you let it crack in, then it just starts,
no,
right?
No, the exception is if I'm in a bar with a friend and the game's right on, I'm not going to, like, walk out, right? I'm not that insane. But I actually feel like they really feed on TV revenues, and I'm not – yeah. I'm not going to – I figured all the money I spent over the lifetime and my dad's lifetime, and, you know, it's probably like 50 grand easy on season tickets and whatever else we bought over the 40-plus years. And, you know, I just – to me, to walk away from anyone that spends that much on your business and not care at all, really, is unacceptable. So having said that, I'm not advocating for the NFL's return. I just want to make that clear. I think that's an unrealistic expectation to set, and something that if it does happen would be, yeah, cool. Like, you know, the Chargers come back, another team comes here. Yes, I could probably find myself engaging with the NFL again. But I think this particular development, in my mind, again, having graduated from SDSU in 1996 and looking at, you know, where the campus is now and looking at where, you know, UCSD is with all the land they've been given and what they've been able to do with 2,000 plus acres. To me, I feel like there's a big opportunity for San Diego to do something really civically important with this land. And my big challenge with Soccer City, and I met with them when they first released their plan, and we actually got on our Facebook page and said, hey, this is like the only plan out there. And honestly, this seems better than just hoping the city gets it right. So that's what I fall back on is my challenge with their plan is there are provisions in there that essentially give it back to the city and hope the city gets it right. And the city doesn't get things right. As someone who's grown up here, they get pretty much everything wrong for the most part. So I've got a lot of concerns about saying, well, you know, if this soccer team doesn't come here, we punch out of this. Like, I'd almost feel better if they had no reason to ever punch out of it and they had to get a soccer team here. But having said all that, like, I just feel like when you look at the economic value of expanding San Diego State and you look at what it can do for our workforce and the education value that it could bring to the economy and, and just what universities do, which is pretty well proven, not just in regions, but also in the world. You know, for me, that is like a gamble that I'm more willing to put my money on than FS investors and MLS and MLS granting us a team. Now, if MLS said you had a team and they're like, here, you guys have a team, you just need a stadium, I think this would be a completely different discussion. But the bottom line is there are soccer teams that are like Columbus is looking at, you know, ownership in Cleveland now. Like, there are soccer teams that just aren't doing that well. And I personally don't, A, know if we need an expansion team, but if we do, I also don't know that, B, they won't play in a stadium that's bigger than 22,000 seats. So those are my questions about, like, I would love to have an MLS team here. I mean, I would absolutely love that. But I also don't think the false sort of narrative about, like, it has to be this or it's not going to happen at all, I just don't buy that.
Well, and I'll speak to that a little bit, just in the sense of I'm in a unique position that I was a Chargers fan, and then I became a Portland Timbers fan just by proxy, and it's a fun story, but I won't get into it now. About 3 or 4 years ago, I really fell into it hard and started watching a lot of the MLS and kind of reading up on the league and becoming very familiar with the league as a whole after being a soccer fan for about a decade or so, heavily on teams overseas. The league itself operates a little bit like a mini NFL and fashions itself after that in the sense of who's its commissioner who formerly worked for the NFL. So a lot of their decision making sometimes, you know, can mirror some of that in terms of how they set up their entity and how they share revenue in the way that American sports leagues have been successful. I think part of that was to juice the coffers to make it so they could build facilities, because one of the biggest problems on the outset was that they were playing in college stadiums. They were playing at San Jose State University in front of 5,000 people, and it looked the optics were terrible. Things like that, and they, you know, subsequently had to restructure certain franchises. Columbus is actually a good story in the sense of I thought that was a progression for them as a league that showed they're not the NFL. The NFL would have moved that team and not look back. They would have moved them to Austin and not look back. The fact that they were open to having discussions, and yes, it did take a billionaire coming in and saying, hey, I'll write you a check, whatever you want to do, if you keep them in Columbus. And that's what the Haslam family has agreed to do at this point. I thought was a growth point for the league to say, oh, we're going to be creative and figure out a solution that doesn't harm people and doesn't harm a fan base. And the fact that they stepped in to do that, I thought was great. And part of the reason that I'm not just behind Soccer City as an entity, and to pick apart a couple points, they would have a 30-something thousand stadium if SDSU agrees after the election to buy into the process. So it would not be 22,000 unless SDSU somehow built their own stadium elsewhere. But from the MLS side, I would say they have to make a quick decision here about how their league is going to look for the next 10 years. And it's kind of one of these things where the train was moving, you know, maybe 5 miles an hour 5 years ago or 10 years ago. And it's slowly sped up here to where in the last year or two, from a spending standpoint, from a quality of players, quality of facilities, all of that in the last 5 to 10 years, you look 10 years ago, they've built about half of their stadiums in that time. And so what they're gearing up to do is almost either compete, or there's been floated rumors about combining with Liga MX south of the border and creating a super American, North American sports league. Uh-huh. Stuff like that would be interesting, but that's why I think there's this kind of need to jump in now or we might miss the boat. Mm-hmm. In the sense of this ownership group too, specifically, I've never seen a group come in and actually start listening to people from day one and talking to the citizens from day one. That was something that was very foreign to me as somebody who watched my grandfathers interact with Alex Spanos, who, rest in peace, but if you read up any of the kind of think pieces on him in the last few weeks, he was not the, the most listening man. He would talk to fans, but he, much like his son, did not listen. And there is a sense of this group specifically could do something special in terms of not just their backing and finance, but the fact that they're rooted here and they're people who I've seen around town who, when I walk around and I've ran into specifically places since they started this campaign, and I think of them as people who are trying to do something that would translate to kids, you know, like I was once when I became enamored with the Chargers and the Padres, and, you know, wearing that gear and kind of feeling a part of something civically that even when I lived apart and lived in Milwaukee, I would watch on TV and I'd see home and I'd say, that's, you know, I felt a part of something, even though kids there were rooting for different teams and put me down because the Chargers were not very good most of the time, or the Padres after 98. It became one of those things where I felt attached to something. And I see in this group the ability for that to happen again for a new generation of kids, in a way that I just don't see any other opportunities on the table currently. And again, as you said, guarantees, not guarantees. It's as close to a guarantee as you can get without a guarantee. Don Garber showed up to their unveiling of their campaign for a team. As far as I know, I don't know if he showed up to the unveiling of anybody else's campaign. His connections to Mike Stone are documented in the press in terms of how, you know, close their relationship is and how they know each other, as well as just the overall numbers for this market in terms of World Cup viewing, soccer viewing as a whole. It's just an undeniable market that with this project would make a slam dunk sense. And I don't think anybody, if there's a slot available, one, a half a slot, and we have a project like this, that they would turn us down. I do think, though, 3-4 years down the road, again, as the reasons I outlined earlier in this diatribe, we might miss a boat. And we're going to be looking back saying, oh, we're playing minor league soccer here as opposed to major league soccer.
Well, I think you made some great points, and I think you kind of made my point, which is the market is so attractive that I don't believe that that Soccer City plan is the only one that they'll participate in. I just don't buy that. And even having met with the SDSU folks, they've actually met with MLS. And so, like, there are other alternatives. I mean, the Seattle team plays in, you know, the Sounders play in essentially where the Seahawks play. So I know what they want. And of course they're going to push like any good negotiator for the ideal outcome, just like Dean did and the mayor did and everyone ended up losing. And let me just be clear too. We haven't shot down either of these plans. We think if you vote for either one, it represents progress in Mission Valley and progress that isn't in the hands of the city, which will inevitably screw it up. So I just want to make it clear. We're not against either plan. I just think, and our group thinks, after we looked at the plans and had hosted a debate at the Mission Valley Library, you know, a week or two ago.
How heated did that get?
That was dry. I was there. It was quite dry.
it definitely got a little bit weird, but it was, you know, I was trying to keep it under control. But the bottom line is, you know, I guess what I'm saying is I think it's, and you know, again, I'm not speaking from a point of expertise here, but I think it's easier to figure out a way where you can take a larger venue, which is good for more events, including concerts, by the way. We're not just talking about sports. We're talking about concerts that need large venues to play, like Sports Arena gets shows, Sleep Train or Cricket or whatever the hell they call it down in Chula Vista. They get shows. You know, you need these large venues to host these shows. Petco gets shows, obviously. So I think you have this ability to attract more cultural and sporting events and potentially sports franchises with a bigger venue, which, again, could be expanded if it had to be. But to me, a 35,000-seat venue feels more ideal for a lot of those reasons. And I know they should have all worked together and just, you know, built a joint use stadium. But to me, like, the smaller facility just feels like it's more limited. It's very soccer specific. It's not what our group anyway has proposed in terms of like why we need a stadium and why we've worked so hard for so many years to try and build a world-class stadium here. It just isn't a soccer specific stadium in my mind.
I have a question. In the event that Measure E and the Soccer City thing was to go forward or were to go forward, do you legitimately think that SDSU would not at that point come back and say, okay, we'll jump in and we will build this 33,500-seat stadium?
I think it could go either way. I honestly think I don't see any reason why Soccer City couldn't come in and say, look, we still want to bring a soccer team.
I hear you, but I'm saying in the event that Measure E wins and they go on and say, hey, SDSU, do you want this stadium or not?
I would hope that I would hope that sanity prevails, and whoever wins, the other group comes and says, "Hey, you know, for the best interest of the city, we should work together to try and make both of these things happen."
Yeah, and so if that's the case, then what we're talking about is a 33,500 seat stadium versus a 35,000 seat stadium.
Well, but there's other issues that SDSU had with, like, if you look at the land use, the park and the open space that SDSU is proposing is almost twice as big as what Soccer City is proposing. Yeah,
that doesn't affect the stadium capacity, which is the question that I'm asking.
No, but I'm saying they have other issues with land use and density and traffic and trips and all the things that, actually, if you look at the two plans back to back, you know, everything about SDSU is less density, fewer daily trips, more park space, more open space. So your question's a good one. I certainly can't speak for SDSU West. For all I know, they've got such big egos, they just walk away and say, forget it, then we just won't expand. But having said
expansion is mandatory. We've all learned that. SDSU must expand.
Having said that, I would hope that there's some sort of reason that comes into this. Now, to your point, my fear again with Soccer City is, and again, you know, you can make the case either way, but SDSU West is a group that is building over a very long period of time and doesn't have to create the density and we all know how pro formas work, right? We all know how that stuff works. When you put out a pro forma and you've got a plan to bring soccer in and set aside land for an NFL stadium and all the things you want to do, it's all done. And Steve Altman, actually, I used to work at Qualcomm, so I know him, and he's involved with Soccer City. And so there are a bunch of reasons why they have to not only execute and make things happen quickly, which is a good thing, I think, but they also have to do it to a degree where they get their return on their investment, with the soccer piece, quite honestly, not being central to that return on that investment.
Do you have anything for that?
Well, in terms of running a sports franchise and needing to get your money back? Because sports franchises overall, everyone, if you look at the economics of it, you're always putting money in and not technically getting money out, with a overall franchise value being what you're getting back. So I don't know what else to say to that. What I would say is, overall, does SDSU need to expand? And this is a premise that I've underwritten a little bit and tried to document a bit and maybe work on something more formal. But the university industrial complex and the idea of we need to expand and we need to build more things, does that apply to this specific university? And I guess one of the things I have pulled up in front of me here and I've been looking at lately is the majors that are graduated from San Diego State University. And who we actually need in the city from a workforce standpoint, because that's something that's been touted a lot with G, is we need more people to fill our workforce, and they'll provide us with that. And regardless of the fact that they already have 11 space on campus set aside for 11,000 more students on their current campus footprint that they're expanding currently, what other type of majors will we be looking at? And really, you have to go down the list till about the fifth or sixth most grouped majors to look at what their highest major of graduation is. So psychology, we have more psychology majors, more criminal justice majors, a lot of social workers, and I think those are really important, great jobs. I just don't know if they're all going to have jobs in San Diego, and or if that's what really this workforce needs versus more engineering, scientific talent that's, you know, maybe not in the charter for a state, Cal State University versus something like a UC. And there's been kind of a back and forth lately about classism between UCSD and SDSU, based on the fact that one has a bigger footprint. It was granted the most beautiful piece of land in the 70s that anyone could ever dream of for a campus, versus one that's been there for 100 years and had a chance to acquire more land but didn't have that vision or didn't have that scope until later on. So you'd look at that and say, okay, that's the case. But again, is that the most valuable use of the land when what we're turning out is currently, if you just project what we have and turn that out without the university changing its charter and doing a lot of other things that would be required to kind of point it in a different direction than where it's at now, we're not really getting the workforce that actually would fill the jobs that we're asking people to come here and do.
That's a great point. And I think you just made my point again, which is that when you have when you have this educate, you did actually. It's
I
great.
Literally said we're graduating more social workers.
Yeah,
but so
if you let me make my point, I'll explain how you made it again.
Sure.
If you graduate more people that are maybe outside of the businesses that exist here today, everyone knows that when businesses relocate, they look for a well-educated workforce in that specific area. So you could actually attract new industries with a well-educated workforce in those other areas that you mentioned that aren't core to San Diego.
Well,
that's exactly 100% what happens.
As far as
and that's why I think an East County campus would be a perfect expansion idea.
Hey, I won't disagree with that.
Plenty of land out there.
And I also think a soccer stadium at the sports arena location would be perfect.
Well, what
about the El Cajon Speedway? There's an airport there and everything.
Poor Cajon Speedway.
But you went to San Diego State and Do you talk to some of your alumni friends? Like, is there a conversation going on about, like, how big does a modern university need to be? And we've talked about this almost every week. Like, it's almost like a super university. They want to keep growing, and they want to go to, like, 45,000 students.
55,000. It's actually, yeah. When I was there, it was, like, 40-some thousand. It was totally impacted back in the 90s.
It was impacted when I was there,
yeah.
So it is a good point. You know, I mean, just like the NFL is evolving and changing, and people aren't – you're cutting their cables and all that stuff. Like, that's a different dynamic. Education is changing. More people are taking remote classes and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's a reasonable point. And again, if I took that point and put it up against how many more strip malls and traffic and office buildings and whatever else do we need in Mission Valley? Like, to me, I don't know, like, I would always fall towards education is, like, probably going to add more benefit to the city than a bunch of strip malls and office buildings and traffic.
I guess my retort to that would be, if we weren't in a city that's impacted by severe debt civically, that would be a dream scenario. Yes. If we had land and wanted to give it to somebody and we were above water, I would agree. But based on the fact this is going to bring in twice the amount of tax revenue over time, that's just why I have to support Measure E and look at G as kind of this, you know, kind of, again, university industrial complex idea that I don't know if that really is the best use of San Diego's time and money in that case. And really, we're talking about a significant amount of time and a loss of, you know, again, half the tax revenue over time between these two different plans as they stand now. The other thing I would sit on that and say is, the people behind the G plan doesn't make me super confident that it is, in any case, going to impact the city civically from a financial standpoint, except for lining their coffers, I guess. When you look at who owns $4 billion worth of real estate in the Valley, that's the people who footline those bills or footline those signs that say no on E, yes on G, H.G. Fenton, Sudbury Companies. Mm-hmm. Additionally, Jack McGrory. Jack McGrory, as you know, poisoned the well for San Diegans against the Chargers by being part of the ticket guarantee. I could go all the way back to Alex Spanos cutting Don Coryell as what began poisoning Spanos, poisoning people against the Chargers. But I think that was a real turning point for a lot of people, my parents included, who started to check out and say, I don't know if I can trust this organization as something that's a beacon of morality to my children when they're just taking the city's money. And yes, Susan Golding was well involved in that as well. And there's a lot of other people civically we can point to have messed things up. We'd be here all day, right? That's what the other podcast that meets here, I think, does.
Yes.
But overall, I just don't trust those people. I mean, personally, Jack McGrory has done more to hurt San Diegans with the pension crisis and the ticket guarantee and eventually the Chargers leaving, if you want to kind of wrap it up in that, than Dean Spanos did. And I just can't trust him and what his name is associated with and how closely he was to this measure being brought out in the form of G, that it also makes me kind of vehemently against it versus being more, I guess, on your side. You're saying we're yes on G, but we're kind of shrug emoji on E, mm-hmm. I guess. I would say that I'm no on G and yes on E based on that fact as well.
Well, I don't know if we're on a time crunch here.
Oh, no, we're not.
Okay. Yeah. It feels like I've been talking forever and he talks forever.
I love it. This is the best podcast I've been on.
Yeah.
So I would just say two things. One, I think you make a good point. And honestly, there are nefarious people in all sides of this issue. And I would say, you know, April Bowling and Scott Sherman are two of my least favorite people, having gone through this thing with the Chargers, who basically, you know, Scott Sherman, I don't know if it's legal to actually pack someone up and ship them off to Jacksonville, but I think if it is, like, he should be on the next plane out there. So that guy bothers me a ton. And the hoteliers, we've talked about them. You know, there are so many people you could point to as probably questionable players in this. Now, having said that, again, I go back to, you know, you've got these well-heeled investors from La Jolla. And I have no reason to believe that they are going to do anything other than maximize the investment on that land, because that's what investors do. They've got people that they answer to. They have to make a return on that investment. They have to build it out to a density that satisfies the pro forma that they circulated and guaranteed 3.whatever% on return on investment. They've got people essentially that are willing to buy into this, and they have to deliver returns on that. Now, again, that's not a crime. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's business. That's how it works. But to me, that says we're going to build out as many offices as we can. We're going to build out as much housing that we can charge as much possible for as we can. And we're going to put as much just sort of retail and whatever else we have to jam in there to basically make this pay off. Now, what that means on the other side is, like, yeah, you get more traffic, you get less park space, you won't have an educational sort of expansion. I mean, you could make the case where you get this sort of short-term tax benefit, but the long-term overhead of actually managing all the infrastructure that goes into sort of building that out, and quite honestly, managing that open space park that they're talking about by the river, you know, which both sides are talking about. There are just a lot of questions that come into play here that I think neither side has great answers for. But if I was going to, again, put my sort of bet on one or the other, I would look towards a more long-term, less dense, educational, you know, again, when you talk about like who's got the civic best interest in mind, I don't know, maybe SDSU does or doesn't, but I certainly wouldn't put my money on investors from La Jolla, you know, having the city's best interest in mind. Like, I don't know how those guys are any more trustworthy to the app, but you know them. And I've met Nick and he's a nice guy, like nothing wrong with Nick. But I don't know how like the average person can say anything other than these guys are like all investors and business people are going to maximize the return on that investment.
So are Tom Sudbury and Jack McGrory, who both live in La Jolla.
So it's a moot point. That's my point is it's a moot point. Yeah, they're all in it for themselves.
But what I'll point out is you talked about density and you were talking about kind of comparables. So what we currently have on paper has been put out to us shows that SDSU is only building slightly less units, you know, a couple hundred less units, more park space. And, you know, that comes at the benefit of removing retail. And the biggest component from what, and my biggest takeaway from Scott Lewis, plug for Voice of San Diego and the piece he wrote about why this all fell apart, was that retail was the key component. Was the retail, if they could have gutted the retail out of Soccer City, then they might have been able to come to the table on a deal. But that, as you know, wouldn't make it profitable to make it a venture worth doing. And so that again, the reason that's the case is because Tom Sudbury and Sudbury Companies own Civita, which is down the street from the Soccer City site, and they have a lot of retail planned on going in there that they haven't sold yet, that if this was to go into place, would probably not renegotiate, but change their outlook on a lot of their profitability for multiple reasons.
Go ahead. I just had a question about the you're saying that you don't trust the city, and I don't either with that land. Mm.
Neither do I.
Right, everyone agrees on that. Yeah. Then we have the investors would buy the land, correct? Mm-hmm. But if G passes, doesn't the land kind of go into the Cal State University system or whatever?
That's correct.
Right, so in my view, and I'm, you know, like I said, big fan of SDSU as an institution in San Diego. But to me, if G passes, we're giving the control of Mission Valley to a state bureaucracy. And that is very concerning to me. And just dealing, like I said, with my 6-person office bureaucracy is gnarly. Yeah. Dealing with a state system, there's like 23, 26 schools in this system.
I think 23 campuses.
And so state, I don't think, is the one going to be making the decisions, really. I mean, they're going to kind of set the vision. And then this...
the CSU Board of Trustees.
Yeah, it's going to control this like jewel of San Diego.
It's a fair point. So let's take that down another level.
Yeah.
So how is that going to play out if SDSU says, hey, we want to build this student housing here? Is the Cal State University system going to come in and go, no, can't do it, man? It's like it's collectively owned, right?
No, they're not. To me, I don't know. Like, I trust, believe it or not, the city of San Diego more than I trust an
Look at UCSD. I mean, that campus, even in the last 10 years, has expanded like tenfold. Like, you can't even find a tree on that campus anymore. I mean, they've built out almost the entire space.
Right.
So clearly, state universities have the ability to actually build out the land that they own with either housing or educational facilities or gyms or whatever, stadiums, I guess. But you know, the bottom line is you're right. I mean,
I guess when we're talking about like the civic control and best interest of a city, right? That's, I guess I get what you're saying about, but giving that into the hands of a state bureaucracy is where my biggest issue with the whole thing.
I guess I would just go back to, when has it ever worked out for the city or for the citizens where the developers have had access to this kind of land and done the right thing? Like, just give me those examples, and then I'll be on the same playing field with you. My point is, these guys are profit motivated. Soccer is certainly an interesting component of it, but it's not core to their plan. It's not core. I mean, they say if they don't get an MLS team, like, they'll just abandon the whole thing. And
I think they say that because they're so overwhelmingly confident that they will. Like, you know, Drew made a few different points as to why it's so blatantly obvious that they will. There's one other point that I think is the most blatant point. The MVP trophy of that league is called the Landon Donovan Most Valuable Player Trophy. Like, that's the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even on top of Landon, we talk about Landon a lot, and he got a lot of press this summer for good and bad reasons. But Shannon McMillan being a part of this, she lives locally, and so did Landon moved a couple years ago after his playing career, and his wife is from here. But Shannon's lived here. She's from here. She had no reason to just upset her life and become a part of this. Like, unless to promote soccer and feel like there was going to be a groundswell and the ability to build something here. And so I look at people like her more so than I do anybody else, that what does she have to gain? Obviously, the ability to be attached to a franchise and maybe an NWSL franchise as well. But at the same time, what, you know, the whole she's been here long enough to know that the politics of this were going to suck and that it was not going to be a fun thing to be involved in, at least for a year or so of campaigning and trying to get this passed, and that the benefit was worth it to her from a soccer standpoint to do this. That speaks volumes to me. And that's where I think I just look at the people involved again, and you outline the people that you didn't like on our side, or the Soccer City side, would be people who are elected office. So if you don't like that, you can change some of that. You know, whenever their election term is up. Scott Sherman's not up this November.
Incumbents almost never get voted out until they term out.
But that being said, yeah, the people who are attached to this proposal for good, who are the investors putting the money in and pulling it out, I think, you know, do have hearts more so than other developers I've seen. And I'd also say that they have more to lose by this not being successful, in the sense of they don't own $4 billion worth of property adjacent to this, to this development. They don't own a ton in the city, nor have they done a project like this before.
Yeah.
So they have a lot to lose building this or going into this.
Look,
right?
I think all those points are good for progress and progress happening quickly. I think the profit motive is not going to, in my mind, either the profit motive or giving it back to the city to say, hey, this didn't work out. We didn't get an MLS team. You guys figure it out, whatever. Those two are the worst possible outcomes, because to build it as densely as you can with more friggin' strip malls and things that like just would make Mission Valley another nothing. Now, let's just say for the sake of discussion, the MLS team didn't come and the city got it back and they decided that it was worth building strip malls there or whatever. I personally don't think that that would happen. I have to believe that if it both failed, which is possible, that San Diego State would just find a way to get the land somehow. I mean, who knows? But I think that that to me seems like the most likely outcome. But having said all that,
I thought we were building a lake.
Pond, pro pond.
Pro pond.
Yes. Pro pond.
Pro pond. Is there a pond option?
I think we should build.
But yeah, the last podcast we talked about, my idea for it is to make Lake San Diego there, but that's,
you know, I used to play Little League right off that parking lot where the IKEA is now, and I think there nice. Was a pond back.
Yeah,
there
was. Yeah, there was.
I think we should just build a big telescope, like contact style, yeah, just like, you know, look straight up. Anyways,
sorry to interrupt.
It'd be a lot of solar.
I think I was kind of rambling, but what I will say is just, you know, here again, the one thing I don't want to have happen, and the reason why we actually took a stand, is because we said yes on CND during the Chargers' attempt to stay here. I did initially have some fundamental problems with Soccer City, because it was clear that the mayor was negotiating with them in the background when the Chargers were still potentially going to stay in San Diego, depending on who you believe. But the bottom line is the mayor had already moved his eye, because the hoteliers were very anti-Chargers, and so were a lot of people, quite honestly. And so there's a lot of reasons why that wasn't going to work out. So the fact that the mayor and SDSU, by the way, and quite honestly, even Soccer City, all weren't working together to make all three of these things happen, to me, is the biggest crime against San Diego that there is. Like, they all should have been working together. So having said that, you know, SDSU, again, sat on the sidelines. Our group was reaching out to the president, Elliot Hirschman, and whoever before him. And we were working, trying to work with them to say, hey, look, the Aztecs aren't going to play in this place when the Chargers leave. Like, you guys can barely afford to cover the parking costs or whatever, right? There's no way you're going to be able to afford to run this. But like, the SDSU backers were all very anti-Chargers. Don't mix your chocolate with our peanut butter kind of thing. Yeah. Like, you know, and so it just became this joke where like all these civic problems came up, and now we've got this ridiculous scenario. So having said that, we thought that, you know, maybe these guys would work together at the beginning. And actually, I was super encouraged by the fact that everyone was talking, and even the mayor was behind it. So even the hoteliers couldn't screw this one up. And I was thinking, you know, this is going to be great. Like, we'll actually get something done and everyone's going to be happy. And then when this thing pulled apart, because like they had disagreements on land use, and I don't really know who screwed who in all these discussions. But the bottom line is, now we're faced with a decision where if people are confused, or they don't think, you know, they don't understand either one, like the UT had their op-ed today saying vote no on both, right? They will. They'll just vote no on both. So we this time, you know, we talked about it as a group, and we decided, like, look, if we do the same thing and endorse both and we expect different results than last time, then that's sort of the definition of insanity, right? So we just decided we got to pick one. And it was hard, honestly. Like, they both have merits. They're both, you know, I think, reasonable plans for Mission Valley, and they both represent progress that is out of the city's hands. Now, the city should have put this out for RFP on day one. And they should have made this a public process where everyone, Soccer City, SDSU, whoever brings their proposals. And then, you know, there's some either public decision or at least city decision on like what's the best plan for San Diego. They didn't. And then they tried to come in like the pit boss in the 11th hour going, whoa, this thing's going to get away from us. We better jump in and like sue both of these guys, right? And that didn't work. So you know what? Screw you, city. Like you blew it again with your lack of leadership. So having said all that, I again go back to, I still feel like if I had to put my money on one horse, and it's not going to be the fastest development path, but I still feel like the SDSU path gives us a stadium that the Aztecs can grow into because they do aspire to be a bigger program than they are today. Whether or not that happens, who knows? And could potentially lure an NFL team or other professional teams to San Diego, and could be a great venue for cultural and other events that need this sort of large venue that's bigger than Petco, you know, and potentially even MLS. And if MLS decides, like, that's too big, we don't want to play there, then maybe our market's not as great as they say it is.
Well, and again, I would just reiterate that MLS has this window that we need to jump into because it's very unlikely for them to go to 28 to 32 teams instead of contracting or doing something fairly different. And so that's where I think on the other side of that, I guess I would posit a question to you, and I'd also kind of add my answer into it, is that pro sports coming here in the next 5 years in the form of not something besides an ultimate Frisbee league and a, hey,
do they have that? Do they have professional ultimate Frisbee?
Well, JD sure. Wicker threw it out there once, so I'm sure that he's got a hot line on it.
This is a lacrosse town, if you didn't know.
Hey, my son plays lacrosse.
Seals wax, lacrosse. I'm big on the Seals. I'm in on it. I follow all the Seals stuff. I'll definitely go to games.
We're
going to
be doing Seals podcasts in December. Don't worry.
I'm excited. Yeah, I will definitely listen to those.
Have Woodsy on.
But, I do not know the rules.
But how would you posit, and they've made claims of this lately, that Measure G is the best initiative to bring pro soccer here based on
anything,
because to me that's a false claim, and it's really misleading to voters at this stage to make that kind of claim. Makes me not trust the people behind it.
I don't disagree with you. I do not think Measure G is the best measure to bring pro soccer. If you're looking at myopically at that issue, clearly Landon Donovan and FS Investors have a line on a pro soccer team coming to San Diego, and if there's one sure path to that outcome, it's definitely their plan, in my opinion. If that's like your one issue and that's what you want to have happen, then that probably is the best measure. But again, we're trying to look at this as like, I like the stadium for a lot of reasons that have nothing to do with pro soccer because we don't even have it today. I actually really like pro soccer. I think San Diego, I grew up with the Clippers, by the way. Did anyone ever go to a Clippers game at the Sports Arena other than me?
I missed that one.
How old am I?
I was four.
But of course, I never went to see the Clippers. It was always like, oh, Kareem's going to be here. Like, I got to go to this Clippers game. Anyway, all that aside, I hate seeing teams leave San Diego. It's been heartbreaking, you know, and the Padres almost left. I don't know if you guys remember that fiasco. Yeah.
Close.
And, you know, obviously there were a bunch of people that jumped into that mix to try and sabotage that. And that was actually a pretty well-run campaign for Prop C. And if you look at that as just one example of what a professional stadium can do, I mean, that was $236 million in bonds that if you ask different people, you got anywhere between $2 and $4 billion return on that. So when people talk about bonds and sports facilities, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I guess for me, like, I do want to see a professional NHL team here. Like, we've got great support for the Gulls. Why not? I want to see an NBA team come back to San Diego. I'm hoping that Joseph Tsai actually does something with the Seals thing more than just lacrosse and actually builds a new arena. And I would love to see, you know, San Diego grow as a sports town. It's a crime that we always become LA's little sister. Like, it's just a crime. Uh-huh. It's a unique market. It's a great market. It's a multicultural market, you know, on a border city, basically. And yet, for some reason, we get overlooked and overpassed time and again. And so for me, again, going back to the stadium issue, I just feel like if you have a little bit more capacity, you could always, the MLS could decide that this market is good enough and say, look, we didn't get what we really wanted, but like, we still want to be in San Diego. So this stadium would probably work, even though it maybe has some more empty seats than we would like. Or we've already said this is an amazing market. Like, maybe we could fill this. Let's try it and see what happens. I don't know. I mean, it's going to take a lot of commitment, an owner that's willing to do whatever it takes, but the bottom line is I think the MLS would not have an optimal situation here, but I also don't think they would not come to San Diego if they didn't get the specific stadium. I could be wrong.
I think it's based on the ownership group more than the stadium in this case, is that the ownership group wouldn't have control or say and kind of be betters in the process as opposed to being uniquely involved with it. And I think that's the issue, really. And if you look at, again, the last 5 to 10 years of their expansion and deal, Just in terms of who they've expanded to, they've made sure that they had surefire stadium situations. And Minnesota was the most recent expansion, and Atlanta, which is a joint use facility with the Falcons, which is the same owner as well, and was built specific purposely built for that. And you mentioned the Seahawks and the Sounders earlier. Same deal. It was built with both in mind. It seems like at the process stage that we're at now, though, they're going to build this stadium for football. And anytime you try and take a football stadium and put a soccer team in it, even a professional soccer team like the New England Revolution, just try and watch one of those games on TV for me for 90 minutes and tell me that you don't want to tear your eyes out and that that's a good product for the league to put out there. And the reason they recognize that is why all these teams now have their own stadiums that are soccer specific, maybe with a bent, like Portland State plays at the Timber Stadium. That's specifically why they don't have grass. They actually have turf there because they have a joint use. They would love to have grass for all of their players and their injury reasons and everything else, but they have to play with a turf hybrid so they can accommodate the local football team. So there is shares here, but what I'm saying is for MLS to become the kind of league it wants to be in the next 5 years and the trajectory it's been on for the last 5 to 10 years, it needs to have a stake in this facility that includes ownership that's not them vying to a college. And I think that's just where, from my side of the table, again, I just don't see that being possible as somebody who believes in what soccer can galvanize and do to this town from a sports side as well as a humanistic and cultural side. I just can't get on board with that. And that's where I'd say I still differ at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point for sure. And by the way, football sucks in a soccer stadium too, as I can tell you from having gone to StubHub.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I think you're the
that
first person
you didn't like
that,
that intimate
that
experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we could be back here in 2 years. I'm actually looking forward to it. We can all just come back here. Jason, is there a version of a private investor group like FS that could come along next time that you would like more? If there was like a different, there were variations on the plan that like a private investor group would bring to your group. Is there anything you would want to see in that type of group that would not include the university as far as like driving it?
I think what you're asking, if I understand the question, is like, is there a different scenario where I could have gotten behind like a private?
Yeah,
investor that
like
wasn't
is there
the
a
state?
Different version of FS that you could get on board with, and what changes would you like to see if that emerged next time? Because there will be a next time.
So
you know,
it's a great question, and again, before we end this, which it feels like it's coming to an end here soon, I want to say vote for both if you're not sure, and vote for G if you believe all the crap I've said over the last hour. But here's what I'll say. Look, I have no problem with FS. Like, I think he's a nice guy. There are people who don't like him. There are people who don't like Jack McGrory. Like, who cares, right? The bottom line is I don't have a problem with the people involved in that group any more than I have a problem with, you know, many of the developers and hotel owners and whoever, you know, basically blocked the Chargers from getting anything done and that are now backing the SDSU initiative, right? And the mayor included, by the way. But I guess what I would say is just if a public-private partnership, which is what I think everything needs now, like there is almost no like all private or all public thing that happens at this scale, especially in big markets, which I think we still are, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of people here. I mean,
statistically, not mentally. Yeah.
Yes. Not from the mayor level. Anyway, I got to stop with the mayor. But
no, don't.
but my point is, I think both sides could have compromised more. In other words, I think SDSU could have been more open to, some sort of compromise on the stadium. Like maybe they did build a 33,000 person stadium, and they at least made it expandable in case their program gets into anything other than the Mountain West, right? And that would have been great, right? And I think on the other hand, I think FS investors, had they carved out a plan that maybe, at least for me personally, again, you know, this was a group decision on our part, but if it included less density and maybe more room for university expansion, and they really found more of a middle ground on both sides, I think, again, this could have not, we wouldn't even be sitting here tonight other than saying how great this plan is and everyone should vote for it. But I feel like both sides dug in. SDSU, again, with their hubris, probably assumes that if they both lose, they'll get the land.
Certainly.
And you know, you can take that for what it's worth, because the city screws everything up. They'll probably find a way just to, I don't know, maybe they'll move the airport there, actually. That would be great. We need to move that airport.
Dive.
But the bottom line is, again, I feel like both plans represent progress. I feel like both sides could have compromised and been more willing partners in this. And I feel like the talks broke off and they both went their separate ways and dug in, and here we are. And the one thing I hope to God doesn't happen is they both get below 50%.
Real quick, what happens if they both pass?
Whichever one has more votes,
that's right,
wins.
Yeah.
Straight up
popularity.
It was the same thing as C&D. One of them needed to do was get more votes. So like everything could have worked out, but they both couldn't get 50% because everyone talks smack about each other. And then next thing you know,
so what happens? Why do you say? Because I would say personally, in respect to everyone in the room, that both losing is the best thing for San Diego, because I don't think Soccer City is what it is, but there's a lot of tension there. San Diego State to me is just doing this as like a block, you know, it's like a pick and roll kind of thing, just so that they can kick the can down the road. Why is that the worst scenario to you when I would like, and what is it called, the RFP or whatever, where you come in and we got like 10 proposals and we really like take this jewel of real estate in San Diego and do the perfect plan with it.
I would have loved for that to happen. Unfortunately,
but you think that's too late.
Well, you have two citizens initiatives, which are legally binding if they pass, because that's what a lack of leadership in a city causes to happen. So again, say what you want about the city council, the mayor, but I'll say a lot of stuff that's not favorable because they should have taken control of the situation.
What if I run for mayor in the next year and we kick the can down the road and then we come up with a vision for the land set down by, I don't know.
Well, okay.
Losing is the worst
scenario.
I will go back to that.
I don't think it's the worst scenario either, except for the fact that then this dysfunctional city leadership then gets to decide what to do with the land. So that's my biggest challenge with that outcome. I would much rather... I think either of these initiatives are better than the city getting their hands on it and screwing it up personally.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, Travis, to your point, you know, this part of town, this jewel, as you refer to it, has been studied again and again and again. There have been commissions. There are community plans that lay out what should be there. And when you look at these two plans and you see broad strokes, they are effectively the same thing. Housing units along a transit line, open space for a park, a new state. Like what these two plans fundamentally bring is in line with what has sort of been decided as the highest use. I think a big part of why my friend Jason here said that these two both losing is the worst case scenario, because all that does is kick this can down the road. All that does is tether us to this post of the past that we've not yet moved beyond. At a certain point, to your point, San Diego does need to grow up and decide what we want to be when we grow up. And to continually and eternally just talk about the same things year after year, like, excuse me, fuck that, man. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Well, I just wouldn't know what to do with myself.
It's the one runway airport. If you ever need an example of how screwed up our city is, they've been talking about the airport since all of us were kids.
Yeah, like the floating airport was my favorite thing.
What did they do?
The UT article in high school.
Yeah, they put more microbreweries in there and more terminals. It's like, wow, but it still has one runway. Like, we're the biggest city with
one runway. Since 1940s, they tried to move the airport after the war when they were going to decommission Miramar before they turned it into a naval air base when it was an Army Air Corps base, I believe. They had a decision to move it there, and they didn't move it there then, and they've still been talking about it ever since.
And it'll never happen now, because the La Jolla's will never let that happen.
No, that is the valuable. The real estate is just too valuable west of there. But I guess my closing remarks on this would be, we will end up...
You guys, we should put the airport in L.A. That's where...
Yeah, that's
what everything else is moving there.
Put the Hyperloop under... Let's build a Hyperloop to LAX, and then we have to deal with that. I guess my remarks on what would happen if they both fail is we're going to end up with something that looks like Soccer City or looks like SDSU West 5 to 10 years down the road, with missed opportunities in both professional sports, specifically in soccer, I believe. And then also other opportunities that might come along until then. And the city, you know, has no motivation to get rid of this land besides the amount that they're paying to keep the stadium open, which obviously they've revised their lease with SDSU for a number of years. And there's also ways to make SDSU shoulder more of that cost in the meantime. And if that happens, they have literally no motivation to do anything with the land. So in that point, yes, I would rather see a party more invested in that land, whether it is a state bureaucracy or someone else, possibly do something with it. But I just don't trust that state bureaucracy will also have a motivation to do anything in the next 5 to 10 years as well. So again, who's motivated to do something? Somebody who has to make profit off of it, to kind of go back to your point. But at the same time, I just see us missing out on opportunities that would put us in a more advantageous position. It also does two things. The biggest winner is the person we talked about opening this podcast, and that's Dean Spanos. He would be the biggest person to win should both these fail, because he can look and say, look, those guys can't
do
it.
That is true.
They can't do anything. They can't get anything done.
Pass them both, San Diego.
And so that's part of it. And then the other part of this is it sets up a really flawed debate for the sports arena.
Right.
It sets up a really flawed debate for that. And either way becomes one of these things of, well, do we have to force something through this way? Is the city council going to play ball with people? And you end up with this whole other civic, you know, meltdown, kind of like what we've ended up with.
And by the way, I know we got to close, but just one last thought. We could have had Soccer City doing what they do. We could have had the Chargers in downtown. We could have had expanded convention center space, by the way, in downtown as well. We could have solved a host of problems if the city had just gotten its act together and worked with the Chargers and tried to get something done through a public-private partnership downtown, and then we'd still have the sports arena land to figure out what we wanted to do with. But the bottom line is, again, the city screws it every time.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah, and I think to a certain degree, I know we're. I'm gonna. Oh, this is my last thing. I think a big part of the reason that I personally like this whole Measure E thing, at least the initiative to take the initiative, is that it cuts out all that. Like, it cuts out all this, you know, what was it, Chris Kate said, we've lost the ability to govern. If our city can't do it, then we have to resort to alternative means. To your point about insanity, attempting to let the city do anything again, like, doesn't seem like the right idea at this point. So let's try something different. To your point, if you don't know and if you haven't been able to make a decision, at least vote for both, and at least we can kick something into motion.
100%.
Love it.
And to do that, you got to go out on vote on November 6th. We'll be downtown at Golden Hall if you want to hang out.
I'll be down there too, I think. Heck, I'm gonna head down.
We'll be down there. Yeah, we'll be there.
It'll take me about an hour and a half to get there, but
it'll be like the we went to the original supporters march earlier this summer, and it'll be like bookending that.
It'll be kind of a official ending to that. I already sent in my ballot, so I can't change my mind. But
And I can't even vote in San Diego, by the way. I live in Encinitas.
Oh, great.
And I don't even have a polling place near my house. I got the message saying there's not enough registered voters in your neighborhood.
So no way.
You don't have a polling
Where
place.
Where do you live?
In El Cajon.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I went to Grossmont High School, so I can believe that.
Well, check out Drew and Jason's stuff online. I'll put links in the show post.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, man.
Thank you so much for letting us voice our opinions.
Good and robust debate. Thank you all.
Thanks for listening to TKF United, Stadium Talk That Rocks. Ah!
TKF United. Ah!
The show you just heard was part of the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network. To hear other great shows like the Voice of San Diego podcast, I Made It in San Diego, a show all about the people behind the region's businesses, the award-winning Culture Cast, The Kept Faith, a San Diego sports show, and more, please visit voiceofsandiego.org/podcasts. If you'd like to sponsor any of the podcasts, please email Aaron at voiceofsandiego.org. That's Erin at VOSD.org.